Thousands of people climbed on board that Freedom Message train this weekend at the All America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message in more than 60 cities across the country. We're going to guesstimate somewhere around 65 to 70 cities and locations across the country participated. And it was quite a weekend, maybe a historic watershed weekend for the Ron Paul Revolution, for the freedom movement in the history of our country. Make no mistake about it, folks. We are living history right now at this moment. It's not an attempt to overstate our own importance, to try to make us feel important or more than what we are. It's just pretty much a simple fact of the situation that's going on. We're making history. We're taking a country back that has been taken over by criminals, that has been taken over by special interests, that has been subverted from within, and we are surging under the leadership of Dr. Ron Paul to reverse all of that and reestablish constitutional government in this land. Truly historic. The future of humanity is at stake. Whether we succeed or not will largely determine the direction of the planet. will we drift or will we plunge headlong into totalitarianism, into socialism, into world government? Or will we stand on individual liberty? Will we stand on the rule of law and on constitutional government? Those are the questions. Those are the options. The American people are responding to the freedom message, to Dr. Ron Paul. It's very exciting and very historic. Make no doubt about it. No question about it. So we have quite a number of reports for you today. I just don't even know where to start with all the reports from across the country. But if you listen to the show, it was about 4 hours long on Saturday. We had reports from a minimum. I have no idea. I haven't been able to count, but I'm going to guess and say somewhere around 20 different cities reported in on their activities. I think right now we actually have on the line Linda Honeycutt, who is a granny warrior, and she actually participated in an important event this weekend, part of the All America Walk, only it wasn't a walk this time. It was a stationary event at the NASCAR race, and they did one heck of a job. I read her report, and they did one heck of a job on the NASCAR race promotion. Let's go ahead and get her on the line right now. Do we have Linda Honeycutt on the line right now?
You sure do.
All right. How are you today? I read your report on the NASCAR event. Sounds really exciting. Why don't you go ahead and tell us some more?
Oh, my Lord. That thing, I've never been to a NASCAR race before, but that just blew my mind. I have never seen so many people in all my life in one place. And they were all in good spirits. Everybody's happy. But very few of them knew who Ron Paul was.
Uh-huh.
But they do now.
I saw you had banners hoisted up into the sky on helium balloons. That was great.
Yeah, we did that as an afterthought. We had the banners flying over the racetrack. We had a plane flying over for both races. And my goodness, you could just see people looking up and staring like, who is Ron Paul, you know? And before they actually flew the banners over, hardly any interest, really. But after the banners went over, we started getting all kinds of people coming up. You know, they could see our motorhome because we had those balloons and the signs flying way up in the air. And they were coming over watching. We had a TV going that was running 24 hours a day with some of Ron's videos on there.
And this was in South Carolina, is that correct? Or North Carolina?
This is North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay. And yep. Did you have some Ron Paul supporters down there helping you out?
We actually, not very many showed up. The Charlotte group has 200 members, but they were doing another event somewhere else. So we got, I think, five out of Charlotte, and then Betty from Chapel Hill, Betty Smith, and Scott Mullins came over from Chapel Hill and helped us out.
Uh huh. Yeah, they were doing a walk for Ron Paul as part of the All America Walk. So,
right.
Too bad we didn't know. We could have coordinated it better so that they could have done their activity there with you guys. But anyway, that's all right.
I doubt that they could have done it because I'm telling you, there were so many people. It took Scott and Betty. It took them 2 hours to drive from Chapel Hill to Charlotte.
All right.
But it took them 2.5 hours to walk a mile from where they had to park to the RV. Through the crowd.
Yeah, logistics would have been hell, I'd imagine, trying to make it happen,
yeah.
For sure. Well, it sounds like everything worked out fine, anyway. And, buddy, your monkey got a workout, I guess, shaking a lot of hands from what I hear.
My goodness, everybody come up, they were coming from across the other side of the track, the racetrack, where people would say there's a monkey in a car painted up like a flag, and they would come around and say, somebody told us there was a monkey in the RV painted like a flag. Is there? And, of course, Betty would pop out, and they'd shake their hands. And I just got to the point where, you know those round stickers, the Ron Paul stick-on stickers?
Yeah.
Oh, I had three rolls of those, and I think there's either 500 or 1,000 stickers on a roll. And everybody that shook his hand had to get a sticker. So we had all those stickers. We used all three rolls up. So we had all three of those stickers, people walking around all over the place with Ron Paul stickers on them.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well,
we had a good time. It was really a lot of fun.
That, yeah.
A lot of nice people. There are a lot of new Ron Paul fans out there.
That's great. You guys definitely did the job. I can see pictures of the airplane flying overhead. That's quite exciting. And
that was exciting to see that plane get in line with that Ron Paul banner behind it. It made your heart flutter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just awesome.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. I really appreciate your stick-to-itiveness. The RV keeps breaking down, but you keep patching it back together and putting it back out there. And that's really admirable. And gosh, we need you. We really need you so much. And you're doing such a great job.
Well, guess where we're going next week?
Tell us all about it.
We're going to Martinsville, Virginia.
What's going on there?
We're going to have a NASCAR race up there, and we're going to hit it, and we're going to fly the same banners.
We're going to have to call you the NASCAR warrior from now on.
I'll tell you, that many people, Stephen, you just can't imagine the number of people that are there.
Uh-huh. That's great. Well, you know, I think it's key to take advantage of any place where there's lots of people gathering. You're on the right track to take advantage of that and hit as many people as you can. They did the same thing in Phoenix, Arizona. They went out in front of a football game. The 50, 60,000 people gathering for a ASU football game, and did quite a job there as well. So, it was a fantastic weekend for the Ron Paul Revolution all around. Big rally in New York City, where he gave a very stirring, although short, speech from the steps of Grand Central Station. If you haven't, have you seen it on YouTube? It's really quite dramatic. I'll just tell folks about it because I'm going to introduce that later and play some of that. First, there's people out. He's giving a private luncheon, and you can see him just through the window talking to people sitting down having lunch, and then outside there's 300 people screaming Ron Paul, Ron Paul, and then when he comes out and they just mob him, hundreds and hundreds of people, just enthusiasm, and then he just charges across the street and they follow him in his wake straight into Grand Central Station and just take over Grand Central Station, just storm the building, flow in there like a river, like a river of American patriotism, and take over the Grand Concourse, one of those famous places in America, the Grand Concourse in New York City. He climbs up those steps right behind that clock, you know, where it's famous, that everyone's seen that picture.
Yeah.
He gets up there and he just gives this short little but sweet speech that just real historic moment, and unfortunately the audio isn't all that great, but I'll go ahead and play it for everybody right now. Now that I'm on the subject, I might as well go ahead and play it. Let me see, where do I get that? I'm going to go ahead and play that for you folks right now. It's just something stirring. So first, I'll play a little bit from the rally on the street, just so you can get a feel for what this sounds like. Of course, it's just YouTube video from a video camera, and you know it's not world-class audio, but get a feel for this. I'll skip ahead a little bit, and let's see if we can catch where Ron Paul comes out, and he is immediately just embraced by the crowd, and then he leads this dramatic charge across the street to Grand Central Station. Here we go. And then comes the charge across the street. They're just screaming into Grand Central Station. Very dramatic. Ahead and play that speech now in Grand Central Station. Now, it's really hard to hear. I'm going to EQ it as best I can. Let's see. We're going to take that down. We're going to take this up. And I think this will do the trick. Oops, wrong one. Sorry. Hold on. Still with us, Linda?
Huh?
Still with us?
I didn't hear you.
You still here?
Still with you.
Okay, good. They're going to try and play this Ron Paul speech now. Okay, he's talking about the right of habeas corpus and personal liberty. Let me back it up a little bit. We want liberty in this country and we're going to save the Constitution. Gesturing very strongly. Thank you very much for coming, and this movement that's going on is truly a revolution in this country. Well, that was it, but, I mean, just quite a dramatic moment with him standing there on the balcony and looking out over this crowd and delivering these few key words, quite dramatic.
Well, not only that, just think where it was. I mean, my goodness, that's in Giuliani and Hillary's territory.
There you go. Thank you for pointing that out, Linda.
I mean, this is their hometown.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. It looks like New York is Ron Paul territory. And as well it should be.
Looks like he's taking over the country.
Well, something's happening. He keeps saying so, and we keep saying so, and I don't think there's any way that it can be denied anymore. Something is going on, something quite dramatic, and it's being mentioned in the news more frequently that something, in fact, is going on. So, in fact, let's go ahead and play the audio from the CNN report on that.
You mean CNN reported the New York rally?
CNN, more or less they did. Yes, is in fact they did. They did an interview with Ron Paul and a report on what happened kind of at the same time. Let me go ahead and play that for you. Hopefully this is going to play. Let's give it a try.
Question for you. Do you recognize this guy? He may be the best kept secret in the race for president. A sit down with Ron Paul. Straight ahead for you in the CNN newsroom. Republican candidate Ron Paul is causing quite a stir in the 2008 presidential race. You see, while he's polling way behind the leading contenders, his fundraising is going extremely well, and his campaign is gaining major traction on the internet. You're seeing as Jim Acosta.
Oh. Nobody is more surprised by the success of Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul than Ron Paul.
Have you come to grips with what's happening with your campaign?
Probably not completely, because it's still pretty shocking to me.
That is so nice.
First, I'm going to make a few comments about this as we go. You know, first of all, they can never, I don't think I've seen one single report that didn't start out by pointing out that he's polling low in the so-called polls. I mean,
that's their method of discrediting.
They just can't seem to leave that one alone. You know, but then again, he does admit that he's doing very, very well with the fundraising. Then, very consistently, this line keeps coming out that, well, Dr. Paul himself is so surprised, you know, by what's going on. It's all a big shock. You know, and Dr. Paul has this kind of humble thing, you know, I was going to say thing that he does. It's not a thing that he does. It's his personality. It's his character. But I'm in the personal opinion, if I was in a position to advise him, I would say now is the time to sort of stop saying, I agree with you that I'm surprised. He might say, I was initially surprised, but you should say, I'm no longer surprised because I know that this is the right message at the right time, and the American people are ready to hear it, and they are hearing it, and they are responding in large numbers. He cannot continue to be oh so humble in the sense of almost self-deprecatory. He's standing there on the steps of behind that clock in the concourse of Grand Central Station and gesturing strongly and declaring that this is a revolution. That's strong. I want to see some of that in some of these interviews. Not asking him to be overbearing or full of himself. That's not what I'm saying. But just a little bit, you know, less playing into this sort of downplaying that they try to do with these questions, which is the setup that they're trying to do, is get him, you know, put him in a small position.
Minimize him,
you know, exactly. And I think that, you know, if I were in a position to advise him and say, okay, well, you know, now's the time to stop responding to that question in that way, you know, let's take that question and be more affirmative and more strong. No, I'm not surprised. The time is right for this message, and people are hearing it, so I am no longer surprised. That's just my hit on that. Let's see what else they have to say.
Shocking because this little-known congressman from Texas has crashed the party in the race for the GOP nomination. His anti-war, anti-big government views aimed at younger voters appear to be catching fire at a...
Okay, so, you know, crashing the party, I kind of like the sound of that. But then a new thing that you're consistently hearing in all of these reports is, it's the young people. It's the young people. Young people, young people, young
That's
people.
That's not true. I'm 70.
Thank you very much. And, you know, at my walk today, this Saturday, we had about 80 to 100 people. And they were young people, yeah, but I would say they were a minority. There might have been about 20 people that were under the age of 25. You know, and the majority, vast majority of the people were well over the age of 25. And, you know, and if I've been looking at all the videos and all the people that I talked to on the phone, and there was not one of them that was just this stereotypical young people. The picture they're trying to paint, and it's all these naive young people who don't know any better. Of course, they're going to go to something like Ron Paul because they just don't know, you know. And they plug.
Trying to make him like a cult leader.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. Good point. You know, and if you're even just looking at the video of the supporters that they're playing while. And this is video of him on the street out in front of the hotel before they cross over to Grand Central Station that we just played. They're showing that you see some young people, but it's obviously patently clear that most of the people that you're looking at are not college students, are not high school students. These are grown adult Americans, you know, people with jobs and families and lives, you know. So this minimization that they make by trying to, you know, claim that it's just the young people and the internet people, you know, it doesn't even match what they're putting up on the screen.
Critical time.
Like Howard Dean before him, Congressman Ron Paul is the internet phenomenon of this presidential campaign.
The lion's share of his donations come from online supporters. And one of the signs you'll often see among his crowds is Google Ron Paul.
Drawing.
So there you go. Again, you know, trying to make it all about the internet, you know. Yeah, at the same time, right behind them, if it's just the internet, where the hell are all these people coming from? You know, I mean, these are real
well,
people.
I got news for you. These NASCAR people are not internet people. They're out and about and going.
There you go.
And I'll tell you what, they appreciated the message, and they hadn't been getting it really.
Yeah. Oh well, that's we need people like you out there reaching those people that don't have access to the internet or aren't as inclined to use it.
The funny part about it is these people are all out to have a good time over the weekend. And the first day we were there, everybody was saying, "Who is Ron Paul? You know, what, you know, what's going on?" But then after the race, the people started coming back to their campers and their tents and whatever. And we kept getting woke up with people yelling, "Ron Paul!" You know, as they go by the trailer, they'd slap the side of the RV and yell, "Ron Paul!" So people are getting it.
Well, the enthusiasm is infectious, you know. And the message is infectious, and it cannot be stopped. The only way it can be stopped is if you stop, Linda. If I stop, and we're not going to stop, are we? So you know, as long as we keep on keeping on, you know, this message is going to grow and it's going to spread, and more people are going to come to it. Let's listen to a little more.
Millions over the net in the last fundraising quarter. Paul has more money on hand than John McCain. And he's estimated to be the most watched presidential candidate on YouTube. There are songs about Ron Paul.
Congressman Ron Paul, thank you so much for joining me.
He even agreed to an interview with a college student in his dorm room.
Ron Paul really is one of the surprises of the 2008 campaign. I think in the beginning, most people thought that he would be a very minor candidate and really wouldn't be much heard from.
Paul changed that with his chief issue, Iraq. A war, he says, was sold to the American people with false information.
Do you mean that the president and the vice president essentially misled the country?
Well, we were misled. What you can't read is into their minds and their motivation.
While Paul...
So, I mean, I cannot... again, his chief issue, Iraq. No, that's the chief issue. That's the chief issue that they have chosen to focus on. That's what that's the pigeonhole that they're trying to put him in. I mean, the fact of the matter is that's not his chief issue. His chief issue is constitutional government. And if we had constitutional government, we wouldn't be in Iraq because the Congress would have had to vote for a declaration of war, you know, and chances are they wouldn't have done that. So
I don't know. With the Congress we've got, they probably would have.
Well, who knows? Maybe. But I don't see the chief issue of this campaign being the Iraq War. I see it as being the Constitution.
And the message of freedom, which
is the Constitution.
Right.
And of course, they're not going to report that.
Well, if you think about it, why would they report on the NAU? I mean, this is the NAFTA highway. I mean, they don't want the public to know about this stuff, so they keep harping on the war.
Well,
I mean, the war is a good issue to keep on with because everybody knows about it already. They don't want any new issues to come up where these other candidates are going to have to answer questions about why they voted for these different issues.
Well, politically...
Why would anybody vote to give our country away?
Yeah, exactly. Politically...
They're supposed to protect their sovereignty, not give it away.
Mm-hmm. And politically, these are the battles that we need to fight right now.
The word was about globalism. I mean, we have to educate our kids so they can function in a global world.
Right.
I don't want to be a global world.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yes, you're right. They want to take power increasingly away from the local level and increasingly centralize it on higher and higher levels, first on the national federal level and now on the international level, you know,
right.
Giving more and more power to bureaucrats, you know, not bad enough that it's so far away in Washington, D.C. Now they want to send it to some bureaucrat in Brussels at the United Nations.
Right.
Or whatever organization they're setting up, you know. So you're right. I mean, and these are the political issues that we need to keep fighting, and we cannot stop and think, oh well, he's on CNN now. That's good. It is good. I mean, I'm not saying that this is a bad thing that there's this our Ron Paul interview on CNN, and they're showing these scenes of Ron Paul support on the streets of New York. It's a good thing, but they're only doing it because we made them do it. We obliged them to do it. We forced them to do it. And if we let up, then they'll stop doing it. And we have to continue working to make sure that we shift the debate and the shift the coverage to where it really needs to be, which is, like you said, freedom and the Constitution. And that's where we need to shift this to, so that people start to realize what's the real issue. The real issue is we do not have a legal government in this country anymore. We have an illegal, unconstitutional government, and that's what we're about changing. Let's go and listen to the rest of this.
Supporters like his views on the war.
He wants to get us out of Iraq. He's not giving a timeline.
His liberal followers may not realize Paul, also an OBGYN doctor, is a vocal abortion opponent.
Can you take the pro-life?
Okay, let's hold the phone right there. I mean, come on. First of all, he classifies Ron Paul supporters as being liberal. And second of all, he says that they're ignorant of the fact that Ron Paul is personally against abortion. And then thirdly, does not mention the fact that his personal opinion is that he's against abortion, but that he also primarily believes that he doesn't have the right to impose that view on America from a federal level, and that is a state's rights decision, which is the key to his position on abortion or just about everything else, that local governments and local communities have the right to make these kinds of decisions. So that was just, you know, a very poor attack on the whole situation right there.
Issue, you know, not sending kids off to war and not having a draft is very pro-life.
A one-time libertarian candidate for president, Paul opposes most military spending overseas, the war on drugs, and national health care. He earned the name Dr. No on Capitol Hill for voting against bills he thought were not expressly authorized in the Constitution.
You really think it's possible that you could win the Republican nomination?
Of course it's possible. It's difficult.
Is it likely, though?
It's hard to say. I think it's a lot more likely today than it was 6 months ago.
With the first primaries...
Well, there again, you know, he's again doing the humble thing, and I think it's good that he is naturally a humble and modest person. But I think when these questions start coming up, I mean, he has to be a little bit more direct, a little bit more, you know, I think we do have a shot at it. I think that if you look over my shoulder, you see 300 people out there on the street. And if you were to interview another candidate, you would not see 300 people over their shoulder. Okay? I mean, in that shot, you've got 300 people behind Ron Paul on the street of New York. I mean, so, you know, he needs to say at that point, in my opinion, yes, I think we have a shot. Now, I may not have thought that originally, but I certainly do think we have a shot now. I think that, you know, the support that I'm getting demonstrates that. What do you think, Linda?
Well, I think he needs to start back over and say, yes, I thought we had a shot from the very beginning, or I wouldn't have run.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I can see what you're saying, but you know, I think it's good to stay modest to a certain extent. But I think the fact that he's got the support now, he's got to capitalize on it, and he's got to, you know, especially here you are doing an interview right literally behind him, 300 of his supporters, when no other candidate is going to get that. I mean, he needs to capitalize that and say, okay, so yeah, I think I've got a chance. Look over my shoulder. What do you see? 300 Americans holding cards that say my name, you know. I guess I do have a shot, you know. Something, you know. I think if I was advising Dr. Paul, I'd be asking for a little bit more affirmative, a little bit stronger on,
positive.
A little bit more positive, yeah. You know, and I'm not asking him to be overbearing or full of himself or anything like that. You know, not for a second, but just saying, you know, things are changing, and he's got to shift his approach a little bit with the change that's happening right now. And I think that's pretty much it.
It's a big change happening. I've seen it grow and grow and grow. Remember when we first started out and nobody knew who he was?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's certainly happening.
Yeah. I mean, the grand
months away, the next trip for this.
Done a tremendous job.
Absolutely. Let's see what else is going on here in this clip. I think we're close to the end of it.
So-called Dr. No is getting more voters to say yes. Jim Acosta, CNN, New York.
Yeah, and a stupid way to close the report. You know, the next thing for Dr. No is to get more voters to say yes. In the very video shot they're showing, he's mobbed by voters asking for his autograph. I mean, a really ridiculous thing to say. Obviously, there's people saying yes to Dr. No right now. Any candidate needs more voters to say yes. Duh. But you just...
Well, you've got to understand these reporters are in new water, too. I mean, they don't know how to handle this.
For years, you know how
to manipulate the public, and they can't do it anymore.
You know, I'd like to be able to, you know, sit through one of these things and not have to interrupt it and comment on the inaccuracies and the spin that goes on. But if I hear it, I'm going to comment on it, and that's what I heard in that clip. Maybe, you know, everyone else heard it in a different way. And I'm not saying it's not positive. It's fantastic that coverage is happening. But we have to work hard to shift the debate in a way that is more accurate.
You're absolutely right, because people right now are so elated that he's actually on CNN and ABC and NBC. Oh wow, we've done it.
No.
We haven't done it until they're actually giving him credit for what he is.
Right. You know, I mean, we've done something.
We're not going to do that without our prodding. We have to keep right on tailing.
No, absolutely not. We have to, you know, we have to really keep after it. And it is possible to go too far in the critical direction. There's been a number of incidents lately where Ron Paul supporters were very aggressive with the media in their phone calling and in their emailing and such, where it actually was counterproductive. So I think it's important to be sort of constructively critical of the media when they do give coverage, unless it's an obvious hack job, you know. But there was a case not that long ago, I think, where the Nashville rally happened, and the local newspaper did not publish an article the following day. And the Nashville people really went after that newspaper, and it appeared that it was actually inappropriate for them to do so, because in fact the newspaper had a video on their website about it, and they had done an article the prior day in preparation for Ron Paul's visit. So they did give good coverage, and the only reason why the article didn't appear in the Sunday newspaper was because of some kind of a communication issue. So they went really way overboard in attacking that newspaper when they really didn't need to. So, you know, you can definitely err on the side of being too aggressive and too negative. But, we do definitely need to keep on top of this kind of thing. And we also had some really good news from the Jefferson County straw poll. Let's see. Now, that was in Alabama, and I'm going to go ahead and play some of that for you. The Alabama groups got together for the Jefferson County Republican straw poll, and after the straw poll, they did a walk as part of the All America Walk, and kind of took their victory out on the streets. And there was a really great speech given by a guy that I don't even know who this guy's name, what this guy's name is, but he gave a really good speech to open the straw poll, or to give Ron Paul's side of the story, so to speak, in the straw poll. So I'll play a little bit of that now.
Thank you, Mike. Next on our agenda is Reverend John Killian speaking for the Ron Paul campaign. In 1861, Alabamian William Lowndes Yancey stood at a podium in Montgomery, Alabama, to introduce Jefferson Davis with the cry, "The man and the hour have met." This afternoon, I wish to say that we're in a precarious hour. Uncertainty abounds as our federal debt continues to climb. Our borders remain porous. The dollar worth less on the international market than in over a generation, and our own tax dollars spread across the globe and in our own country on cockamamie schemes with no constitutional authority. We see treaties, legislation, and executive orders constantly proposed and enacted, which when handed over our national national sovereignty to international authority.
No.
Yes, the hour is needing. Yet with hope in my heart, with uplifted voice, with amplified cheers, I wish to stand with a throng of patriots, ever growing and increasingly fervent, to announce that the man and the hour have met. The hour is now, and the man is Ron Paul! The man who keeps winning the after-debate call-in polls. The man who is winning a majority of pre-election straw polls. And the man who finished among the top four, the top tier in Republican presidential candidates in fundraising in the past quarter. First, consider Ron Paul the person. Ron Paul is a medical doctor. While never accepting federal benefits, has spent untold hours helping the poor without charge. Ron and Carol Paul are the proud parents of five and grandparents of 17. A believing Christian, Ron Paul led the Texas delegation in 1976 for the greatest president in our lifetime, Ronald Wilson Reagan! One of four congressmen to endorse Ronald Reagan in 1976. Former Treasury Secretary William Simon said that Ron Paul is the one exception to the gang of 535 on Capitol Hill. Whenever some legislation passes with only one no vote, you can count on it that it was Ron Paul questioning the constitutionality of that legislation. But let's consider Ron Paul the platform. What does Ron Paul stand for? As a congressman, Ron Paul never voted for a tax increase. Did you hear that? He never voted. Ron Paul never voted for an unbalanced budget. Ron Paul never voted for a congressional pay raise. Ron Paul has never taken a congressional junket to travel overseas. Ron Paul has never voted to increase the power of the executive branch. And listen, Ron Paul has never voted to surrender American authority to the United Nations. Has Ron Paul voted to limit the rights of citizens on gun ownership? Retirement program. Listen, Ron Paul has introduced legislation to abolish the IRS and end the federal income tax. Yeah. Ron Paul has nicknamed Dr. No due to his opposition in spending that's not specifically authorized in the U.S. Constitution. Wouldn't you just love to give the veto pen to Dr. Paul, Dr. No, to really get serious about limiting the size of government?
Right?
Ron Paul in the poll today. What difference does this poll make? I submit to you that if Ron Paul can win this straw poll, the news media and the public will have to take notice that in a day of shifting values and uncertain ideologies, they'll know that a growing number of citizens still believe in abiding in the United States Constitution. Saying no to Democrats and Republicans who will spend taxpayer dollars without restraint. You'll be saying no to the ever-spiraling increase in the size of government. Hear me today. If you vote for Ron Paul, you'll be saying no to the NAFTAs, the GATS, the North American Unions, and control by the United Nations. When Ron Paul raises his hand to take an oath of office, the New World Order comes crashing down. Or you can, once in your life, make a powerful statement. A statement for American sovereignty. A statement for the Constitution. And a statement for liberty. Join with me in standing tall, standing for conviction, in lifting high the principles of our founders and the principles of Reagan by voting today and February the 5th for Ron Paul!
Okay. That was one heck of a speech. I wish we could clone that guy. What did you think of that, Linda?
I know. I think that's great.
Yeah.
He got it out. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's got it together. I wish we had more of them, and I'm sure we do have lots of gentlemen like him out there that are able to speak so eloquently in defense of Dr. Paul and his message. And then we're going to go ahead and listen to the results now.
Receiving 0 votes, Tom Tamprito. We had 1 vote undecided, which represents 0.5%. Dr. Hugh Court got 1 vote, 0.5%. Sam Brownback got 1 vote for 0.5%. Senator John McCain got 3 votes, 1.5%. Duncan Hunter got 5 votes for 2.5%. Mike Huckabee got 8 votes for 4%. Mitt Romney got 16 votes for 8%. Rudy Giuliani got 18 votes for 9%. Fred Thompson got 31 votes for 15%. And our winner of the Jefferson County Straw Poll, Ron Paul, 115 votes.
All right, so there you have it. Ron Paul, 57%, Jefferson County Straw Poll. Yet another straw poll victory for Dr. Ron Paul. Of course, as you know, it doesn't really mean anything. I'm saying that sarcastically, you know, because that's what they always say. It doesn't really mean anything. But we did speak also with Michelle Seven, one of the assistant organizers in Alabama there, after the straw poll. I'll go ahead and play that for you, my conversation with her. This is part of the report, the live report that I was giving. As I was walking down the street on Saturday afternoon with my 80 to 100 Ron Paul supporters through Santa Monica and Venice in the Los Angeles area, broadcasting, reporting on what we were doing, I was receiving calls from all across the country with people, in many cases, reporting live as their events transpired. And this is Michelle Seven reporting to me as she walks with her 40, 50 Ron Paul supporters through the streets of Alabama. Oops, here we go.
Phenomenal.
Tell us all about it.
Well, we started out today, as I had told you we would, with a caravan, and that went really great. We toured around a couple different neighborhoods, and we had about 30 cars or so. And then we went to the straw poll, which is the GOP straw poll of Jefferson County.
Lots of Ron Paulish enthusiasm going on behind you.
We have 40 people out here on our walk, and we've got a whole mess of people still back at the rally that we had after the straw poll, which we won with 57%.
You did? All right.
Great. Yes, you did. We're passing out literature, and right now we're in a downtown area. And like I said, we've got 40 people or so out, you know, as you can hear, chanting.
My goodness. That's a lot of polish that's going on there. That's beautiful. So you're on a very busy street in pretty much in the heart of town?
We're in the heart of Homewood in a Mountain Brook. It's a conservative-based area in Jefferson County, and it's called Five Points. So there are, you know, people coming in and out with 5 different streets coming in. So, yeah, we have about 30 people looking at us, 30 different cars looking at us right now.
My goodness, that's wonderful. And I imagine you're getting out lots of literature. And have you been encountering people that already know about Dr. Paul, honks of support and that kind of thing?
We've absolutely been giving out information. In fact, just myself spoke to two Fred Thompson supporters at the GOP straw poll. They came to vote for Fred Thompson, and they voted for Ron Paul. So people, once they get informed about who he is and what he stands for, and that he is really, you know, conservative, the conservative values that they want, they are absolutely persuaded to vote for him.
That's amazing. That's really awesome. Well, I've been fielding reports from really, literally across the country today, And we had about 200 people in Chicago, and the NBC crew was very, very positive, and they got lots of interviews with Ron Paul supporters, and we're looking forward to some really positive media coverage out of this. So it's shaping up to be a really fantastic day. Right now, I'm driving to the event in Santa Monica, California, and I'm running late to my own party because I've been trying to, you know, field the interviews from across the country. But the show will go on, and so what else would you like to add to your report?
Oh, just that, you know, we have a video that we've compiled with several interviews with key figures today, a gentleman by the name of John Killian, who is a well-known preacher out here who has the best speaking voice I've ever heard. We have some interviews with other supporters as well, and we're compiling that with the video of this event right now and the rally and the caravan, and we're going to hopefully get that out, and people can see what's going on in Birmingham, and hopefully that'll keep up the encouragement around the country, because this movement really is on, and there's no one that can convince me otherwise. It's great.
Well, anybody who says otherwise is really in denial. You know, and I think with this report that we're getting from NBC today, is going to put that to bed. You know that we really are here, and this is a real thing that's really happening among the American people. This is the breakout that we've been looking for. It cannot be denied. The Ron Paul Revolution is for real. So we thank all of the Ron Paul supporters like yourself who have organized so many fantastic events like yours today.
Okay, well, you know what? How about if we'll give a big cheer from Birmingham for you to say goodbye?
Go for it. And maybe you want to pass the phone around and let a few other people there just sort of say, this is why I support Ron Paul, and or get whatever they want to tell the audience. And go ahead. Let's listen here a nice big Alabama Ron Paul cheer.
Okay, so it goes on and on for quite a while, and I've got there probably about 4 hours of this now, and this is all across the country. You know, you're doing your thing, Linda, down there in North Carolina. These folks in Birmingham, New York City. I mentioned there in Chicago, over 200 people were walking for Ron Paul, and they got covered by NBC News. Now, folks may be wondering about that. I did speak with Brian, the organizer in Chicago, and that news report has yet to air. We're thinking it may go out tonight, but we don't know when that will be going up. But it will be going out on NBC Nightly News. So as soon as it does, of course, we will have it for you here. But all of this happening, all on the same day, all at the same time, truly, you know, something's going on, and something real exciting and really important. And I want to thank...
You know, another good thing for us is the News Observer in Raleigh is the largest newspaper in North Carolina, and they're sending a reporter with us to go to Martinsville.
Is that right?
Going to ride with us. Yeah.
Great. Awesome. That is fantastic. So they're just going to write about your whole excursion out there to Martinsville, and publish it in the newspaper.
I hope so. They're supposed to have it in the day after the race.
And when again is that?
That'll be the 21st.
21st. Okay, well, let's make sure we get a lot of Ron Paul supporters to support you out there in Martinsville, North Carolina for the next NASCAR. That's going to be an important day. Excellent work. That's great. Well, this is the kind of thing that's happening. I mean, as the word gets out about this, as we grow, the media is going to want to cover it. You know, it's a grass fire that's sweeping the country, and you know, the media just loves to report on a fire. So they're going to be covering us, and we'll all be in a position to spin that coverage our way if we're ready, if we're prepared. So, Linda, I want to thank you so much.
We just have to work on Sean Hannity and get him turned around. Can you imagine what that'd be if he would come out and support Ron Paul?
I am not going to hold my breath that long, my dear. I'm sorry. I'm not going to hold my breath that long. That's a sweet thought, but hate to say it, but I think you're dreaming on that one. But thank you so much for calling in, Linda. Don't let it be the last time, any old time. Give us a ring. Let us know what you're up to, or just call in to give your opinion on the latest things that are going on, all right?
I sure will. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you go, Linda Honeycutt from the Granny Warriors. And once again, her latest excursion out to NASCAR in North Carolina, where she did a great job reaching just hundreds of thousands of people at the NASCAR event there. Quite a weekend for Ron Paul's support for the freedom movement in this country. Really, really quite a day, that Saturday, October 13th. So we also had a report from Austin, Texas. Now, this is a little bit cut off and abridged, but I'll play it for you. Austin, Texas. This is local Austin coverage on their walk, where I believe they had over 200 people as well in Austin, Texas. And we'll play that for you.
Candidates, they believe, can restore what's missing in America. A walk started at the Capitol and continued down the South Congress Bridge. Volunteers held signs backing Ron Paul's bid for the GOP nomination for the 2008 presidential race.
I've been apathetic. I've been apolitical. I've always felt like I had to vote for the lesser of a couple of evils. And this year, I have a candidate I can believe in.
According to his website, Ron Paul will be taking part in a debate on Fox News on October 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's 7 o'clock our time. For more on his campaign, check out ronpaul2008.com.
Well, there you go. Brief, but something. Coverage now. This is all stuff that's starting to trickle in now, getting information on a local coverage in newspaper and TV reports, and we'll certainly have more of that for you as we go. There are already, gosh, at least 20 different YouTube videos out about the different walks that happened over the weekend on Saturday in support of Ron Paul. If you go to YouTube and just do a search for Ron Paul Walk, or even just Ron Paul, but Ron Paul Walk will bring them up. They're from all over. We've got Phoenix, and let me just see what's up there on my screen right now. Phoenix and Chicago, and South Dakota, Rapid City, South Dakota. There's a bunch from Chicago, Minnesota, and Sacramento, California, and Boston, and Tyler, Texas. Now, it's an interesting thing. On that day, I got calls from people I had no idea they were even participating. Tyler, Texas. Got calls from Salt Lake City, Utah. Didn't even know they were participating. A couple of other places that were just news to me. So I'm sure that there are still places that walked for Ron Paul on that day, and I didn't know about it, and I probably never will know about it. But definitely a lot happened on that day. Now, we have decided that the next All-America Walk, and this time I really mean all America, we had most states. I think I don't have a final total, but it was probably like 40 states participated. Hey, those other 10 states, you're going to be on board next time for the All-America Walk. The next one is going to be on the 17th of November, Saturday, the 17th of November. So please put that on your calendar right now, both on your personal calendar and on your Ron Paul meetup calendar, the 17th. And that will be preceded the week before by a Paint the Town Ron. So I'm collaborating with Chris Holly on this, who does Paint the Town Ron, the Memphis organizer. So the week before the walk, we're going to paint the town, and then we're going to walk the walk, and then we're going to talk the talk. What we would like to suggest is that we walk that walk, and then we take the walk and break into groups and go into a selected, targeted neighborhood, and we go door to door, and we register people to vote for Ron Paul. We get their name, their telephone number, their address, and their contact information so that we can get back to them on election day and say, hello, sir. Hello, ma'am. You said that you were going to vote for Ron Paul. Well, today is the day. Let's go to the polls. So we're going to combine consciousness raising with grassroots, hardcore, nuts and bolts organizing. That'll be November 17th, Saturday, November 17th. We're going to walk the talk, walk the walk, and then talk the talk. Okay? And the week before that, we're going to paint the town. Paint the town, walk the walk, talk the talk. Okay? Keep that in mind. You're going to be hearing about this next big step. The next movement, the next transition right now is into grassroots organizing. This is the word. This is the buzz. This is time right now to move into that. Now, it's not to say that we're going to stop the large-scale consciousness raising, awareness creation efforts. No, those continue. But they continue so that we can have fertile ground for going out and doing actual organization of the vote to deliver that vote to the ballot box. All right, more for you on this tomorrow. I had so much I wasn't able to get to today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Visit my website at www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com. There will be a new video blog going up tonight. So go ahead and check my blog, my webpage later on tonight for a new video blog, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. And keep in mind that shows are going to be archived as often as possible from now on the website. Thanks again for listening. I'm looking forward to speaking with you again tomorrow. This has been Stephen Vincent with the Freedom Message live on bbsradio.com.